It's Bucky and Aaron.
They want less of the pretty girls in the stands.
You're going to less people watching if you keep it up.
What are you doing?
I don't understand that.
That's a dang coaching mistake right there.
Is that sexism? Because we want more beautiful women to be seen on TV? I don't want the face-painted dude holding the Mirrorball trophy in his hand, pretending he's masturbating with it. I want more women.
You say that?
Right?
Hello, welcome to Thursday.
There's a guy holding on to it like this. I'm like, what do I want to see him for?
What is that, the shake weight?
Yeah. What do I want to see him for?
And they don't have no award for that. Trophies. Trophies. And they don't have no award for that. Don't come with trophies. Ain't no envelopes to open. I just do it because I'm
speaking. All right, B&E on the horn. Good text coming in on the reports of Art Briles going to be the new head coach of Waco High School. It says, I wonder if the Texas High School coaches will have anything to say as an organization about Briles coaching again within their organization. That'll be interesting as well. This says, he's exactly right about Baylor. The real criminals have avoided accountability for the transgressions of the school. Briles was paid $15 million to be the scapegoat. Trust me, the leaders at that school owe Briles for taking the fall and will continue defending him forever.
Good Lord.
Well,
they're still saying that he didn't do anything. There's still people that are saying he didn't do anything wrong. It's okay to do what he did.
Right.
But he's the scapegoat.
I think that was neat. Look, there's levels to that, right? I do think the Board of Regents was shameful in their handling of this and the independent. But again, it's more of the same for them.
I agree.
I mean, that's been their MO, is to hire renegade coaches, let them be renegades, which is essentially what Art Briles was. How did Baylor go from a miserable program to the top of the Big 12 in a short amount of time? Much like Dave Bliss was taking the basketball program from the bottom of the Big 12 to the top, is because that's what they wanted.
But when you do this to young ladies, there are no levels of...
There are
of,
no.
You know,
well, you're right.
When people say scapegoat, that means he's down at the lower. He really didn't do that much. No.
He did.
You're all on this. You're all scumbags.
Yes.
You're not, there's no level of, well, there are people above him. No, he's a scumbag too.
Right. But there's no doubt. I mean, it's like there's no doubt that in the Dave Bliss situation in 2003 with Patrick Dennehy and Carlton Dodson, you know, Dave Bliss was a cheater. But the people who hired him knew he was a cheater and allowed him to cheat. And that was the goal, was to win and compete. And when the cheating was caught, those same Board of Regents, or a lot of the same people, did whatever they could do to cover it up and not ever let the full truth come true. And Dave Bliss was out. And just like, look, this is not to defend Art Briles in any way, but I still don't think the folks at the top level, the top of the food chain at Baylor, have gotten their
they haven't got
proper
theirs.
Due
no.
for the renegade program that they've run over time. But that's my opinion. But again, if you haven't seen the Showtime documentary Disgrace, which by the way won an Emmy for Patrick and Dallas, it's so good. It's so disturbing, but it's so well done. But it just takes you behind the scenes, and you can just the last paragraph or line or whatever you call that of the documentary basically is one of the interviewer, one of the main people saying, look, if you don't clean these things out and you don't get to the bottom of all of these stories, they're bound to repeat themselves, which is essentially what would the foreshadowing for the Art Briles scandal, because in the wake of the Patrick Dennehy story where a player was murdered, Buck, by another player, but then in an effort to cover up cheating that was going on within the program, Dave Bliss and the program and the Board of Regents and the people that and the powers that be at Baylor did everything they do to cover that story up and just push Dave Bliss out the door,
including making the dead guy a drug salesman.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and to not give Carlton Dodson, in some people's opinion, his just due, because there were people because Carlton Dodson, the murderer in that case, who's still serving in a Texas penitentiary right now, there were three different doctors in his home state of Maryland who diagnosed him unfit for trial. He was a mental, he had really, really bad mental problems. And three different doctors in the state of Maryland found him unfit to stand trial, but yet two court-appointed attorneys in Waco didn't even bother with that. They pushed through a plea, and the thing never went to trial, and that the whole story never came out, which was what exactly I think the powers that be in Waco wanted. Which was for that, they didn't want a messy trial because there would have been a lot of things disclosed within that trial that they didn't want to get out. And that's why I say one of the court-appointed attorneys for Carlton Dodson in that case is a guy named Abel Reyna, who is the current district attorney in McLennan County.
So we're talking about this guy becoming like the head coach of a high school team. He's not going to have somebody like his PO.
That's the report.
That's going to be like looking over him like he's not an assistant, but like a head coach, like the guy running the show. Running in high school?
High school. Young people. He's done it before. He was a great high school coach.
Questions about his shadiness down at Stephenville. Oh, hearing that for years.
No doubt.
Yeah,
that's when you were recruiting.
I recruited Stephenville. I just thought that they were bigger, faster, and that people were, you know, I was naive into that world of real live steroids because I'd come from a place that there wasn't a lot of that kind of stuff done. And I thought people were just upset that the guy was winning so much until I started looking at players. And when I start seeing four-string running backs that look like, holy, what is that guy? What is he? Who's recruiting this guy? I mean, the players they looked different. But I just thought he was just that good of a high school coach.
He's a top end football mind, and there's no doubt about that for our Browns. But he will do anything to win. I mean, that's been proven. I believe.
Winning is
the most important thing. All right, so let's get to some headlines, and we'll pick that up. We'll dive into our coach's corner. Got a lot going on this busy Friday. Let's get you caught up on the news of the morning. UBO Business Services brings you the news, always from the Ticket City update desk. And we'll start with college football. And the media who cover the Big 12 have spoken. And according to them, the Oklahoma Sooners are clear favorites to repeat as Big 12 champions in 2018. The preseason Big 12 poll released yesterday. The defending conference champion Sooners received 46 of the possible 52 first place votes. Will Grier in West Virginia picked to finish second, followed by Gary Patterson in TCU. Texas, Oklahoma State round out the top five. Longhorns coming in the fourth spot. Annual Big 12 Football Media Day is coming up on Monday and Tuesday. They'll be at the Star Complex in Frisco, and we'll be there live for you on Monday and Tuesday from 6 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon with all of the coverage. By the way, it does appear the folks in Vegas are a little more bullish on the Longhorns than the Big 12 media. The online website Bovada also has Oklahoma as the odds favorites to win the Big 12 in 2018, but Texas is there just an eyelash behind them. Tom Herman's Longhorns, according to their odds, given a just under 3-1 odds, plus 290 to win their first conference title since 2009. Sooners are at 7-5 or plus 135. Speaking of odds and Vegas, another online sports book now has the Toronto Raptors as the even money odds favorite as a landing spot for disgruntled Spurs star Kawhi Leonard. Add to the mix that Raptors star forward DeMar DeRozan has scrubbed his social media accounts of all information. And there are those in the NBA circles speculating that something may be in the works as far as a blockbuster trade involving two NBA All-Star forwards. To baseball, Oakland A's late inning magic continued yesterday while the Houston Astros bullpen continues to falter. Mark Canna hit a two RBI single in Oakland's 3-run eighth inning that lifted the A's to a 6-4 victory. That was a game the Astros led 4-0 at one point. Surging A's take 3 out of 4 from the first place Astros. Oakland leads Major League Baseball, by the way, in runs scored in the seventh inning or later this year. That's a hot baseball team, now 12 over 500. Houston will open a weekend set with Detroit tonight at Minute Maid Park. Rangers took yesterday and last night off. They open a weekend set in Baltimore tonight ahead of next week's All-Star break and Midsummer Classic on Tuesday in Washington, D.C. Also last night in baseball, the sizzling Boston Red Sox made it 10 straight wins. They got a 6-4 W over Toronto. Yankees kept pace with a win in Cleveland. And how about the great Albert Pujols? Continues to climb the ladder in, as far as historic numbers in rarefied air now. With two home runs and an 11-2 win over Seattle last night, Pujols ties Ken Griffey Jr. for the sixth most home runs all time with 630. And that's the news.
Documation is now UBO Business Services. New name, same great people, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Albert Pujols, without injury and the stretch and the career that he's had, maybe top five players ever to play the game without the injuries, the years, 3 or 4 years. Would he have been that guy? Would he have been that Mike Trout? Well, if Mike Trout continues to have that kind of
career? I don't know
career.
That even without the injuries matter. I mean, this guy is he's been one of the greatest hitters I've ever seen. And so, I mean,
maybe I shouldn't have said players, but hitters.
Hitter. And yes, I mean, because he's not a great defensive player and never has been. Like Mike Trout, you know, the reason he is seen as one of the greatest of all time is he's such a five-tool superstar. I mean, he's a all-time great center fielder and gold glover. He brings everything to the table. But Pujols is one of the greatest hitters ever to live, period. And,
wow.
And I think he's in the conversation for top three or four all-time as a right-handed hitter. I mean, he is that good. And he's been hitting since he was his first season in Major League Baseball. And I know people will claim, you know, performance enhancers. This guy has been a hitting machine since he stepped into a St. Louis Cardinals uniform.
He's taken all the tests and nothing has ever come up.
Yeah, he's never had one that flagged. And you know, now he's pushing 40 years old, and he's still a very productive hitter in that LA Angels lineup. That's why I mentioned last hour when we you know, one of the things I was thinking about with Albert Pujols hitting those home runs last night, you know, they're on the West Coast. People don't get to see Mike Trout and Albert Pujols and the West Coast teams play a lot. And I was thinking of that in relation to LeBron James, because now LeBron James is in the West, and he's going to play 52 games this year, LeBron will, in the Western time zone.
Yeah, TV's got to start setting up some of that stuff the right way, don't they? The schedule and how they do it, and particular games, and what you want to see on, you know, East Coast time. They've got to set that up. Once he goes to Los Angeles, they got to be thinking mentally, the NBA scheduling people start going to work, right? The commissioner, this is what we got to do. They don't just let the chips fall.
The biggest matchups of next year, and who knows what the Lakers roster looks like when it's fully done. But, you know, those Golden State Laker matchups are going to be huge. But they're going to start at 10 o'clock our time. And they're going to, or at least 9:30. And on the East Coast, they're going to start at 10:30.
Ooh.
So, you know, that's a different animal. I think the NBA is used to having LeBron for 15 years in the Eastern time zone. Whether he's in Cleveland or Miami, you put him in that 6 o'clock slot, and 6 o'clock in the East, 7 o'clock here. Now you're looking at 9:30, 10 o'clock for LeBron James 52 times next year.
Your two biggest storylines for the last few years have been the Warriors and LeBron. And at least you had the East time zone.
Yeah,
with LeBron in Cleveland, and now your two biggest storylines in the NBA are both on the West Coast.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And because people talked about the imbalance of the Western to the East, but that also affects TV networks. And you know, West Coast will be great, gangbusters. I mean, that'll be huge. But
you're losing some sleep next year. I'll tell you that.
But a majority of the country lives in the Eastern time zone. A high majority of the country lives in the Northeast corridor. Will they be paying attention? That becomes the question. But, you know, your folks in Philly and up and down the East Coast, Buck, still have the Sixers and the Celtics.
Oh, yeah. That's all
the
year
NBA
long
thing. Can we have them play like 12 times in the regular season? Can we do something to get the Sixers playing
the Celtics? I'll throw the Bucks in there. I think it's going to be okay. Yes.
With Giannis?
Yeah, because I don't have to worry about looking over and there's LeBron slapping everybody around, beating up on the kids.
Can we get a little more Eastern Conference going? Because this DeMar DeRozan thing is interesting to me. If the Spurs were able to pull DeMar DeRozan out of Toronto, and there is some speculation north of the border that maybe that could happen in their quest to improve their roster and maybe do the Kawhi Leonard thing and see if they can convince him to stay, who knows? That'd be interesting to me. And whatever goes on in Vegas, those dudes typically have their finger on the pulse of the behind-the-scenes stuff. And when they now are to even odds that Toronto is the landing spot for DeMar DeRozan, and it's stretching. That's interesting. That's to be paid attention to, in my opinion.
Well, I think if you can ever change the balance of power in the NBA, it would be to get a guy like Kawhi Leonard mixed with Anthony Davis somehow. If you could ever get those two together somehow, some way, I think things
with the Knicks.
Oh, I can see both of them trying to get there for the money
with
for the cash.
Kristaps.
Oh,
Porzingis,
now you're talking, right?
Kawhi.
Is that okay?
I mean, you have to have another super team. That's the only way to take down Golden State, right?
Yes. And I think a young but Davis and a guy like Kawhi Leonard, then you're going to add somebody. As you say, it's got to be a threesome. Two guys can't do it.
I'm not sure if three's enough anymore is the thing.
Yeah, this says the Warriors are going to win the NBA. No reason to watch. It's true. Everyone's playing for two.
I can't even say it ain't true. I can't. You're right.
So get your facts straight.
It says Baylor Athletics has made people forget about David Koresh.
Really?
I know I've said it's a broken record, but if you have not seen Disgraced, the Showtime Pat Condellis documentary, you have to. And if you see it, it'll put a lot of things into perspective about what goes on in that little town and how it's run and the corruption that has been rampant for three decades. I mean, they have had three, that athletic department has had three massive scandals in 30 years.
Dude, that all kinds of weird stuff happens there. That motorcycle deal happened there. People just out and out. It was like the Wild West.
They had a basketball coach in the early 90s who was brought up on federal charges. Federal charges. And then the Dennehy-Dotson story and Dave Bliss, and now this. You know,
I do put the pedal to the metal when I like go through there on the I-35.
And I got to go up. I better be careful. I got to go.
That's what I'm saying.
Up there on Sunday to be a Big 12 media day.
Make sure you're driving the speed limit. As you're,
so I take 281.
Yeah, I'm here
to talk about a back door.
You're talking about their district attorney Abel Reyna, who, by the way, Google him. That guy, he's done a hell of a job with that Twin Peaks biker story. That thing has been a disaster from his office.
I was reading up on that. It was like the Wild West, dude. That shootout was like a shootout.
But his handling of that case has been a dumpster fire. And he's the DA in the county. And, of course, he was Carlton Dotson's court-appointed attorney way back in 2003 for his murder trial. I mean, good old boys taking care of good old boys is what goes on in Waco in my mind. But yeah, I'll be careful. I'm going to hit the speed limit, cruise control.
That's Aaron Hogan. Spell with an E.
We got him.
He's coming through.
Abel Reyna. No, give me a Coach's Corner.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
And we'll take your thoughts on that. Should Art Briles be allowed to coach high school students at Waco High? Reports out of Waco that maybe that thing is nearing completion for him to become new head coach of the Waco High School. Hey, I got to look this up. Someone mentioned to me, and if somebody has more details on the text line, who knows, the situation at South Lake, Carroll, is that where I'm thinking of, where the powerful high school, they've had another coaching change, and someone mentioned to me that Todd Dodge's son is now the head coach.
I saw that a couple days back.
Riley Dodge is now the head coach there, where he played, and he's in his early 30s. But there's been all types of controversy surrounding that, and I don't even know what it is.
What is it about?
Yeah, someone with more intel on that can weigh in if you have it, because that's interesting.
What about Craig Way?
Well, Craig may know, but you know our insiders on the text line.
Insiders.
Those are the ones that have the insight.
We do have some insiders.
I guess we could call Coach Dodge. He would know for sure. But that's, I mean, if he's the guy, I mean, that's tremendous for him, Riley. From back in the day. But, Buck, when you look at the Big 12 media poll, Oklahoma number one with 46 first-place votes. In our coach's corner, which coach do you trust the most in the Big 12 right now? Like you say, which coach do you trust to put a great product on the field in 2018? Which coach do you trust the most?
On a consistent basis, of course, Gary Patterson.
I agree with you right now.
Yeah, I mean, I trust him, and I don't know why. Beginning of this, you know, when the season was over and I'm looking towards, you know, the Big 12 for this year, this up and coming year, I originally had West Virginia with the talent that they have coming back and with the recruiting that they've done. And I just don't trust Dana Hogerson. I just think that guy loses it. There's a time where he loses it and he kind of loses his team because he's nuts for some odd reason. He's got a really, really good football team this year. And I thought he had a decent team last year, but there's something about him that makes me think there's going to be a certain part of the year where he loses a game and he loses the team for like a couple games after that. But that's a talented football team at West Virginia.
Remember the press conference after the loss to Texas last year? He threw his team in the grease, man. It was brutal. He's a loose cannon. I mean, Dana Holgorsen comes from that Mike Leach tree of...
I mean, that's why I think he's nuts.
Well, he's a different bird, but he also doesn't always... You know, defense is not always the highest priority. And that's where, listen to this, this is why I mentioned, you mentioned Gary Patterson, and I kind of led you into that, cause that's where I wanted you to go. Phil Steele, reading from Phil Steele's College Football Preview magazine, he has TCU picked to finish third in the Big 12 behind Texas and Oklahoma. Oklahoma 1, Texas 2. He's got Oklahoma and Texas 1 and 1A, essentially. He's got 1 and 1. He thinks Texas is that close to the Sooners this year with Tom Herman. But he says TCU loses 5 starters from the defense, but I have them with the number one defensive line, number one linebacker, and number one defensive back unit in the Big 12. If you tell me that, if that's accurate, and that's Phil Steele's opinion and his analysis, if TCU has the best defense in the Big 12, and they've got the best unit on defensive line, linebackers, and defensive backs,
mm-hmm.
And you give me Gary Patterson and the way he can scheme that up and coach up defense, and you know Sonny Cumbie on the offensive side of the ball with weaponry,
I think it's about his quarterback.
What is Sean Robinson?
Yeah, do they have...
What is he about? I mean, that becomes the big question, because if you tell me that Gary Patterson is going to have that good a defense, they're going to be in the conversation. And that's one of the reasons I'm somewhat bullish on Texas, because I think Todd Orlando is going to scheme up a great defense. That's what I watched all last year. That guy gave quarterbacks, good quarterbacks, including Baker Mayfield, the Heisman Trophy winner, fits last year. And I think that continues into year two because his scheme and his team's a year more familiar with what he wants to do.
But it's not about the defense here. It's about if we say it's about the quarterback at TCU.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the other part of that is I think the offense will be improved. And if the offense is improved, then the defense can be as physical and as tough as it was last year. This can be a much improved Texas team.
But guess how many areas this team has to improve in offensively? Every single one
of them.
All of them.
Well, if Texas isn't it, who's going to challenge Oklahoma? Is it TCU? I can't go with West Virginia until I see them play some high-level defense, because playing bad defense will cost you a game or two on the road in the Big 12 Conference. It just will. And that's where, if you're telling me you have Gary Patterson with this good of a defense, that travels. And if his quarterback play is good and Sonny Cummings,
they traveled for him last year.
Yeah. And that puts you in the mix, because Gary Patterson is one of the best defensive coaches in America.
He's going to tell us what he feels about his quarterback, because he wears it on his sleeve. He's going to come up to Big 12 Media Day next year, this week coming up, and tell you what he thinks of this kid at quarterback. If he says he's still trying to find an identity, then it's going to be, then that's still a problem. But if Gary Patterson tells you that he has really, really matured and this guy is really ready to play and take over the reins at quarterback, then I think you're right. Because I'm going to believe what that dude says. He's not going to hold back stuff. He's not going to tell you who's the quarterback the week of the game. He's going to let you know right away.
Well, listen, I mean, the tailback Darius Anderson is tremendous. I mean, he's a really good running back. This is a really good running back group in the Big 12 this year when you're going across the board. When you're looking at guys like Rodney Anderson in Oklahoma and David Montgomery at Iowa State, the kid Justice Hill at Oak State. But Darius Anderson is right there with those guys. And the receiver on the outside, the kid Jalen Austin, he's tremendous. I mean, they've got weapons. If Sean Robinson is a good quarterback in that Sonny Cumbie system, and Gary Patterson's defense is that good, I mean, don't sleep on TCU.
Yeah, I mean, and
they were playing Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game a year ago. So.
I want to be totally wrong about the new assistant offensive line coach who's going to be a part of play calling when it comes to the run game. And believe me, he'll be part of play calling when it comes to the passing game, because he has to protect with a group that's not that great. So he's going to be a part of that. How good is he? How good is the play caller from last year going to be? But for Texas, every part of their offense has to be better. It's not like just the quarterback or just the right tackle or just the left tackle. It has to be better at the tight end position. It has to be better at the wide receiver position. And a lot of groups have a lot of looking to do on their team, but not at every position. This whole team on offense has to really, really improve. And you expect that they'll improve. But how much more will they improve in the course of one year?
That becomes the question, right? But I think if you're a Texas fan and you want to be optimistic, that's Tom Herman's forte. That's what he is. He's an offensive coach.
It's only his second year.
In his second year, a year the entire staff is back intact with the addition of Herb Hand on the offensive line and trying to help rev up the run game. You know, that's why you hired Tom Herman, was to bring along the offense. And year two is huge. But if the offense does come along and does improve in each area as you talk about, and the kicking game is better with Dicker, mm-hmm. Dicker the kicker, and the defense stays on point, this obviously can take a step forward. But I also
I
can't sleep on TCU.
You believe, BK, do you believe that? I mean, you believe it. You've seen Gary Patterson. I mean, year in, year out. It's just, he's just good, man. The dude's just good.
Yeah, I mean, I've got TCU ahead of West Virginia. I've got TCU, same spot they were last year, right behind Oklahoma. Same conference title game.
1-2?
Prediction. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's got some studs, man. And no one develops talent in this conference like Gary Patterson does. And as I said to start the coach's corner, he's the coach I trust the most in this conference. I mean, Lincoln Riley's the hot shot. Tom Herman's a young gun. Dana Holgerson's going to get some love. Bill Snyder's the old school ball coach. Mike Gundy probably deserves more credit. But the one I trust the most going into a season to have his team ready to play week in, week out right now is Gary Patterson.
Why can't he be number one then? Y'all.
Well, they're right there. They're right there. I mean, if I had a vote, it'd be OU based on the fact that they're OU and they typically win this conference. But, I mean, I could make a strong argument for TCU because they were playing in that Big 12 championship game a year ago. Baker Mayfield is gone, and a lot of those guys are back for TCU. Now, they've got to, just like most of this league, they've got to show what they've got at quarterback, and that will probably determine their long-term success. But Gary Patterson has a track record that not many coaches have in this conference. He and Mike Gundy have been the best, along with Bill Snyder. We'll come back. We'll pick it up. Take your thoughts. There's your coach's corner. Thoughts on Art Briles. We'll dive into some of the baseball chatter as well. Kawhi Leonard to Toronto. Could that be coming to fruition? There's some websites and gambling sites that believe that is now the odds favorite. BK will lead us through Hot or Not on a Red Hot Friday, the 13th, here on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
HornFM.com is your spot to get signed up for the Horn Fantasy Golf Challenge. Next Thursday, they'll tee it off. Best golfers in the world hit the greens, hit the tee box at Carnoustie, the British Open. Be sure you're playing a part of our Horn Fantasy Challenge. Pick your nine golfers who are going to finish the lowest under par combined, and you could be the winner. And deemed the Horn Fantasy Golf Guru for the British Open. Got great prizes and prize pack, including a $100 gift card to the league, kitchen, and tavern. HornFM.com to get signed up and be ready to tee it up next Thursday. Because remember, because it tees off at like 1 in the morning.
I'll be up for it.
You'll be staying up all night on Wednesday into Thursday of next week.
Me and Tiger Woods, y'all.
But, do that, HornFM.com. You know, Buck, it should be noted that when you have a look at the Big 12 preseason football poll that has Oklahoma, West Virginia, TCU, Texas, and Oklahoma State as its top five, what has been my overall number one goal for Tom Herman and his Texas football team this year?
Win all the home games.
Win all your home games.
Yeah.
Of the teams in the top five, Texas only has one team that they play a true road game with in those games, and that is Oklahoma State. The West Virginia game is here. The TCU game is here. The Oklahoma game is at the Cotton Bowl.
But you have to count K-State. You have to.
Picked to finish sixth.
But you have to pick because of the...
Well, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying...
Happened.
My point is, if Texas wins all their home games, they have a very good chance to win the Big 12 this year because they have TCU, who's a favorite here, and obviously the Oklahoma game becomes huge, and that's where, if you look at Phil Steele's magazine, he has Oklahoma and Texas 1 and 1A, but he thinks Oklahoma will beat them at the Cotton Bowl, and that's why they'll win the Big 12. But he thinks they're going to play in the Big 12 championship game, Texas and Oklahoma. BK, you were going to say on my win all your home games conversation?
Good theory. Ain't going to happen.
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean? They haven't defended this place in years.
Well, I've been here when it was great, when they were impossible to beat in this building.
But it ain't great.
Let's make DKR great.
That's my number one goal. Because the way the schedule falls, if you win all your home games, you're probably going to play in the Big 12 championship game.
I love it because you have to be optimistic about your team. And fans are. And here's one fan saying to me, Bucky, how the hell is Texas going to be better in 2019 since they're going to be losing so many nine seniors? Because you'll have a quarterback then who'll be going into his junior year. And I expect if Sam Ehlinger is the guy, which I think he still will be by that time, that guy is going to be a junior then. He is going to be what really holds this whole thing together. The wide receiver group will be much, much better. You'll have found a running back by then, your offensive line. And now, because defensively, I think Todd Orlando for years to come is a good defensive coordinator. And if he's here still that long,
that becomes my question.
What?
If their defense performs at a high level again this year, as a lot of people anticipate, with those nine seniors
goes.
On defense.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, you're
Texas.
Coach.
You find out. You bring in another good defensive coordinator. That's part of the job of getting close to $2 million or $2 million a year to be a defensive coordinator. You go find the very best and bring that cat in here and get it done. But on the offensive side, Tom Herman is an offensive guy, and your quarterback will be in his third year then. That's how I expect him to be better in 2019.
I agree with you. Hey, real quick on a somewhat of a non-sports aside.
Ooh, what do we got there?
I would get on board with this. There's a legislator, a congressman, Jason Smith of Missouri.
Congressman Smith.
He has introduced a bill and an idea. And I think I can get on board. I've got to read a little bit more. But making exercise tax deductible, like your gym membership, your personal trainer, your weight equipment for your house.
And that's not even forcing you to do something. That's not telling you what to do.
No.
It's just giving you an opportunity.
That's incentivizing you because we're a fat country. We're the fattest country on the planet. And according to statistics.
Body shaming. Let's not body shaming.
I'm not body shaming. I'm reading the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. Dun, 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 dun. Two out of every three Americans are considered overweight or obese, ranking the U.S. as the fattest country in the world.
If you go to Dan's Hamburger, there's proof right there. I'll tell you that right now.
But,
and I love Dan's.
And one of the arguments made is, well, it's too expensive. Well, if you made that gym membership or that personal trainer or that...
People still wouldn't go.
Well, that's on them. But it would be covered. I mean, you could write it off on your taxes, and that would incentivize people to get in shape. And it would actually save the country money long term because of the health benefits that would come from a more in shape and healthier country. I'm for this.
Let's make America great again. I'm down with this guy.
Let's make America great again.
So if I decided to join like a men's club downtown that has a steamer, I could?
No.
What do you mean?
I think that's not going to be on the list. Are you doing?
Why?
What do you think? Steamers are like helping you get in shape? No, you got to work out. You got to pump.
I'm going to pump, but then after I want to take a steamer.
Well, I mean, you know.
So that's a part of it, right? Because not every gym has a steamery.
Well, I would say this. One of the things that is very expensive, if you hire personal trainers are expensive, right?
But who the hell hires?
You go to a gym and there are people that's their job.
But people don't really hire. What is wrong with you people? What do you really need a. You got to see Hans and Franz.
Well, you grew up playing football and in weight rooms and working out. There's a lot of people that don't know how to properly work out.
And seriously?
There's a ton of people who use personal trainers, man.
And what if that were...
They just want to see Hans and Franz.
If that were a tax break. See, I'm for this. This is a good idea.
I'm still out on the exercise bit.
Well, you don't have to exercise, and that's fine. You're not going to spend any money on it, so you don't get the tax break.
But you're going to eat garbage and going to die anyway.
Well, yeah, we're all going to die. We're all dying.
And I got that, too.
There's the hot take of the day.
But if you let people, according to this law, this bill he's putting forth, the Personal Health Investment Today Act, or FIT, P-H-I-T, that's clever, which seeks to encourage healthy lifestyles by providing a tax deduction of up to $1,000 to individuals who want to get in shape. I like that. I'm on board with this guy.
Now I can join the Y.
Give me some of that.
Yeah, I can join the Y. I'd like to join the Y.
I'm a member at the Buda YMCA.
Are you?
Yes.
Like a steamer there?
No.
You haven't even been in there yet.
I have.
You're a member.
Many times. My wife has probably already been there and back this morning.
I know she's been there. I'm not talking about it.
You've been to the Y?
I'm not talking.
Kidding me? It's a beautiful YMCA.
You go swimming at the Y. You go pumping iron.
I've swam there before, yes, but not recently. It's indoor pool.
What's recently? Like last November?
Yeah, it's an indoor pool. It's hot. You go in there and it's
I love recently. It was 5 years ago.
They do not have a steam room, though.
They do?
No.
Man, steamers
but they
are
do
important.
Have, like, you know what I am going to start doing there? This is true. I've promised my wife yoga. I've got to start doing some yoga.
Mark this tape, damn it.
No, I am.
Because I want to, because I'm going to ask in 2 months.
I'm going to. Because I have to get more flexible. I just do. I'm tied up like a valve.
Yeah, he's got his knee and ankle, all kinds of weird stuff.
Now. I got to get stretched out, man.
For what?
For the long term, I got to be more healthy. Long term,
dude, as you age,
it's time, you can't just get away. You can't just cut corners anymore. You got to do things.
You lose water in your bones, and you need to get that flexibility. You need more flexibility. Look at me. You see me walking around like a mummy. Only flexibility I have is, oh yeah, baby.
This says, where do you draw the line here? My Barton Creek membership has a gym. Well, no, you can't write your golf off. He's up to $1,000, which would.
And no, you can't write off your $50,000 Barton Creek deal. No.
Can I use the credit on liposuction? No, I don't think so. That's not actually getting you in better health. You only want to be healthy. But I am going to do that, Buck. I'm going to do yoga.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm. I have to. I can feel it. I'm as tight as a violin string, man. It is. I got my hamstrings.
I make every excuse in the world, but the thing that will help my back and continue to help out my knee and shoulders is yoga
or Pilates.
But I can't go with those ladies. Those ladies. They are tough, man, and they look at you, and they eyeball you, and they're like, oh, my God, look at that guy's flexibility. How old is – they're really judgmental. You know, we try to not to body shame on this show, but every once in a while it comes out that way.
Well, don't go down, like, to the pure Austin gym where everything's beautiful. Come out to, like, Hays County, you know. That's where we're working hard.
You mean, like, farmersonly.com gym?
Oh, Buda Y.
Yeah, because the one I went to.
What's wrong with the Buda YMCA?
I thought yoga. I went to yoga.
Classes out there.
Yoga was really good, and I think they did a good job. And then they lost the regular yoga lady who was really, really. She said, "Yeah, you can use the blocks, and if your shoulder's not long enough, use the blocks. Don't be afraid." And the ladies around me would look over at me like, "What do you mean? Why does he need blocks? Well, because he's old. He needs blocks. They make you feel bad." That's right. I get body shamed when I go to yoga. That's why I don't do it. And that would be the absolute best thing I could do for my body at this age. I'm glad you're going into that. But I'm not driving all the way down to Buda to go to yoga class.
It's from your house. It's like 15 minutes. I know right where you live. I know right where the Buda Y is. You get to go right by that beautiful new high school they're building.
It's right there.
It's huge.
Just look it up on YouTube, man.
And do it at the house?
Yeah. They got YouTube instructors that teach the yoga class.
Yeah, they'll do it right there.
Yeah, so I can have a pot of coffee right next to me, take about a 2-minute break.
All right, there you go.
You can stuff your face with a Sbarro pizza while you're doing workouts in your house, man.
That's probably not going
to
work.
Still kind of down that probably I went to Papa John's pizza the other day now.
Well, that is the one
I'm getting
this
info.
That's the one thing I would say about a personal trainer type. They can help you with your diet and teach you better eating habits. I was talking to a guy the other day who never knew, and all of a sudden he's got this new diet he's doing. He's going, man, this is so easy. I've been doing it wrong the whole time. To some people, it seems easy, but to some people, they just don't know because they grew up going to Dairy Queen every day.
Love that Dairy Queen, brother.
We'll be back.
I love that Dairy Queen.
All right, it's a Friday, if you can't tell. It's Friday the 13th, as a matter of fact. BK will lead us through Hot or Not on this Friday the 13th. We'll get you some reasons why Friday the 13th is seen as a day of bad luck. We'll put some substance behind that. Also, my quest for the Longhorns to be undefeated at home this year. Can they do that? Can they win all their home games, be in the mix in the Big 12? We'll take your thoughts. It's B&E on a busy Friday on 104.9, 101.9 on the FM dial, AM 1260. We stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment is brought to you by the Altstadt Brewery. The Altstadt Brewery won the bronze medal at the World Beer Cup for their Alt Beer. That's the green label, available now at your local HEB and other favorite retailers.
Hot or not on this 13th of July. It's Friday the 13th. Enjoy that. It'll be 97 degrees today. It's going to feel much warmer with the heat index. It's going to be blazing hot all weekend here in Austin, Texas. Hot is Game of Thrones, Buck. Emmy, the 70th primetime Emmy nominations were announced yesterday. 22 nominations for Game of Thrones.
There hasn't been a season in 2 years.
22.
Has 2 years gone by now?
No, it hasn't been 2 years, has it?
Just,
oh, they didn't.
See, 22.
They didn't do it last year?
Maybe it was last year.
The Handmaid's Tale, which I've not seen, was the top drama last year. You know who had the most? This is how the industry is changing in a Hot or Not. Netflix captured the most overall nominations of any network or service. Netflix. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is one I've not seen. I don't even know anything
Godless
about.
Godless on there?
Godless is not on there.
Mm-hmm.
But, got nominated for Best Actor in a Drama Series is our guy Jason Bateman in Ozark. We both like that a lot.
Dude,
that was good.
They're getting ready to come up in August, see?
Yeah, that's coming up. All right,
gotta
so
get you in on that one, BK.
That's hot, and I have to mention this on a Hot or Not. The Boston Red Sox, I know you hate this, Buck, but they won again last night. They've won 10 straight.
Yeah, I hate it.
The Red Sox have only played 95 games, yet they're almost 40 games over 500. Think about that. They're not even to 100 games yet.
69, 70 games?
If the Red Sox have not won 100 games in a season or more since 1946, if they play 500 ball the rest of the way, they're going to win 100
the
games.
Sox are good.
Oh, boy, good.
They are good.
37 games over 500 through 95 games.
Oh, I love the way they get on the base paths. They go. Those guys are stretching things out.
One of the best moves of the offseason was J.D. Martinez. I mean,
people thought that was going to possibly be a bad move.
No way. He has brought the big poppy thunder back to the middle of that order with all the speed and the pitching staff. The Alex Cora hire was a good one so far. And again, they can go 34 and 33 the rest of the way, and they'll finish with 100 wins. That's how hot they've been. That's how great of a first half they've had, even though we're already past the first half.
I think 24-hour fitness down in Oak Hill is closed now. The big, huge monster was right beside
it Goodwood.
I think that place is closed. It's out of business.
Planet they have a steamer.
They had a steamer. I didn't know that. I'd go in there for a steamer in that place.
Planet Fitness in Oak Hill I used to go to. That's also shut down.
So that's the big one. It's Planet Fitness that's gone. It's a big, huge building right beside gyms.
And believe it or not, I used to be a member at the Planet Fitness in Oak Hill.
You were a member?
Yeah, before the midday program. So
they're
gone.
I was
getting off at 11 versus getting off at 1. So I was like, oh, I got some time to
that place
the gym.
Is gone.
See, that would now be tax deductible for you, BK, under this guy's idea.
Like 10 bucks a month. I don't need that to be
come on,
tax
man.
Deductible. We'll be all right.
All right. What do you got, BK?
All right, gents. July 13th, 20 and 18. It is Friday the 13th, of course. It's also National French Fry Day.
Oh.
Number one, I assume you guys are down with the French fries. Number two, you got a favorite French fry spot in the ATX.
I'm starting to get into the Hat Creek Burger French fry that I think string fries that are pretty dadgum good. Very disappointed yesterday in Wendy's.
What do you mean?
Raw mess that they gave me at Wendy's. Oh, no, I wasn't very happy.
Those are fighting words.
I almost came back around and said, hey, can you give me some fresh ones? These are a little bit like cardboard right now.
I know some people who like to dip their Wendy's French fries and they're frosty.
That's really strange.
You ever heard of that, BK?
A lot of people do that.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Needless
salt
to say,
and the sweet.
The Frosty was so good, I just had to bypass, not worry about the fries. Because the Frosty is still a buck 06, and that is just awesome.
On a hot day, that's pretty good. French fries. We had an event last night. They're a happy hour down at Cover 3. Cover 3 has really good. Those Parmesan fries are outstanding.
Those
things are pretty addictive.
The best is Hobdoddy's.
Hobdoddy's
But
has
I can never
fries.
Get into places. Too packed.
Hyde Park Bar and Grill. The world famous fries.
Really?
Oh, really good. And of course, Doc's and Doc's Backyard. Charles and that crew do amazing fries.
Fast food fries are now slowly going downhill. They're not working as hard on the fries as they used to. Because Mickey D's used to be, I would go out of my way to get some of those. But ever since they let me down with their fries, I don't stop by. I don't get McDonald's fries anymore. I just said, no, I think I'll pass on that.
National French Fry Day.
I need a fry. And you know what you can do, by the way, with the Hat Creek Burger fries? You can do the old thing that they used to do in Pennsylvania. You can put a little vinegar on those.
Ooh,
with ketchup. It is awesome. They do a good job.
My favorite fries, though. I mean, you know, people like curly fries and they like the maybe the string fries. How about those real thick steak fries? Those are always great.
When they're hot.
Oh,
yeah.
Where can you find those?
I know. Let me know. Those are good.
Chick-fil-A's got the waffle fries. Some people
Wendy's the big steak fries? They're big, but they make big fries. They don't make thin fries.
Like Whataburger or McDonald's in terms of there's a kind of thin.
Do you like those waffle fries? I'm with you.
Pretty good, man. Curly fries from Jack in the Box.
What about the crinkle cut fries? You down with that?
The only crinkle cut fries I like is the ones that are like Mrs. Paul that you can put in your oven and do yourself.
Because
back in the day, that's what you used to get.
We've gotten three votes for shortstop fries.
Oh, I've never been to shortstop.
I love shortstop. You know I love that because that to me is that was the hangover burger. That thing would the meat would slip out of the bun onto your lap. That's a good burger. When that stuff starts to move inside.
It is?
Yes.
Hyde Park got a vote. McDonald's.
All fries are good except for sweet potato fries. Get rid of that.
Thank you very much, BK. My new wife is a sweet potato fry person.
No.
She always tries to hand me one.
Only wife is a sweet potato fry fan, and I like them too. I'm fine.
I'm not down.
I wouldn't
with sweet
choose
potato.
Them over French fries, but if you're looking for a healthier option, they're not bad.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because you're a Y goer now.
He's a yoga guy. My yoga guy. Sweet potato fry.
Yeah. Sweet potato. Are they really good for you? But aren't they dipped in the same crap?
No. Don't believe that they're good for you, but they're better for you than French fries.
So they put them in the same
grease.
They put the French fry right. It's the same grease. It's the same one they use over.
But you can
and
buy
over.
Them at the store and then put them into your oven and bake them in the oven, and they're pretty good. That's what I would say.
All right, gents.
But who wants to turn the oven on these days in the summertime?
Right.
Does anyone use the oven? Ever?
No, not in July.
All right, gentlemen. On Sunday, World Cup final. FIFA World Cup. I guess we won't have another show until this is all said and done. So I'll ask you guys, will it be France? Will it be Croatia?
I'm going to go with France. I think they'll be the fresher team. I watched the guys from Croatia. They had too many guys coming out of that game, and as you said, they played how many? I think it was Wax that told us they played like three overtime, double
Croatia.
Overtime, or whatever. Yeah,
and they look worn.
They
went all the way to penalty kicks with Russia.
They look worn.
Then they turn around and go way late with England. But I'll tell you this: that Croatian team is tough. They're a little bit dirty. They'll beat up on you.
Knock you around.
But France is just too good on defense for me. They're just too good. And the kid Mbappe is just so skilled. I'm going to take France. I mean, that's not an out-on-the-limb situation. But don't sleep on Croatia. If they're hanging around late, France will be in trouble.
Because
they're that kind of team. And they would be the second smallest country ever to win. There are only like 4 million people living in that whole place.
By the way, Croatia, if they do score, is not sitting on the ball. They're going. They're going on the attack, BK.
It is soccer, man.
I know.
Doesn't matter what team it is. When they score, they sit.
I'm going to say I'm taking France. I think the Croatians are worn down.
Original Hofbrau downtown has awesome fries. Backspin, garlic fries, In-N-Out.
In-N-Out.
Yeah, man. Best fries used to be at the old GM Steakhouse on the Drag.
Oh, my goodness. Was that stuff good?
Raising Cane's crinkle cut fries are the bomb.
Everything at the old GM Steakhouse was good. Expensive, but good.
Plucker's waffle fries have been nominated. Nice, nice. National French Fry Day. Enjoy that on this Friday. It's also Friday the 13th. Look at that. Someone just sent us a picture of fries covered in bacon, covered in cheese.
Dude, that's not good.
Where do you get that? PEDs for fries, though.
They're called pastrami chili cheese fries.
Pastrami.
Oh, is that from Fat Sal's?
And they are those steak cut fries.
Look at that.
That looks like a heart attack We'll be back. It is a Friday. It's B&E on the Horn. Big 12 media poll is out. Where do the Longhorns land? We'll tell you next.